Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly a joy to be in God's house today. Let's all stand together as we dedicate this service this morning and ask God's blessing upon our time together. If you're visiting with us, as always, it's good to be in God's house. And please do us a favor so we can get to know you better and get acquainted with you. If you'll take just a few moments and fill out the guest card and simply place that in the offering plate at the appropriate time so we can rejoice in your attendance with us today. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the privilege that we have that we can collectively come together this morning as a body of believers to worship you and to praise you and to give you glory. Father, we ask in advance that this service would be designed in such a way that your name would be made great. Father, we're thankful for the privilege that we can sing the songs of the faith and the hymns of the faith, Lord, that as we do so, we pray that it truly would be a praise song to you. Lord, we thank you for the Warner family as they're here today to give a mission report. We ask blessings upon their ministry. And Lord, even with the preaching of the word today, as we consider the patience of God, Lord, we are so thankful that you are patient and we give you the honor and the glory that you so rightly deserve. Father, we ask if there's someone here today that has never experienced the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Remain standing if you will.
Now is the time to give glory.
For children's moment.
Right, awesome, awesome. Come on, guys. Gather around, gather around. It's a big day. Well, hello. You beat me here. Awesome, awesome, guys. All excited. Today is such a big day. So, give you guys a little bit of information. I am from a little place called Granger County. And in Granger County, we have this thing called the Tomato Festival. And people from Granger County really, really love tomatoes. And so today is an exciting day because I am willing to give anybody who brought tomatoes today $20 for a tomato. Brenda, you got a tomato? Awesome. Look, I tell you what. Look at this. This is so exciting.
Yes.
There's $20.
There
all
right.
Where are your all's tomatoes at?
I don't have one.
Why did you not bring a tomato? You didn't know about it? Why didn't you know about it? Okay, well, you know what? You have a pass. But y'all didn't know about the tomato thing? Well, I told Brenda about it.
She didn't expect the word.
Brenda, did you not tell everybody about the tomato thing? Well, that's not fair, is it? That's pretty hard that you guys didn't get that information, and now you don't get $20. You can't. Don't steal my tomato or my wallet. It's not fair, is it? Why didn't Brenda tell you about it? There was such good news today. You all could have made $20 if you'd have just had a tomato. Thank you. No, today's the only day. It's too late now. You know what's crazy, guys? Sometimes we have good news, right? And sometimes we don't tell people about that good news. Y'all have any idea of, like, any good news that we as Christians may have? What do you think? I'm scared to let you talk.
I forgot.
Okay, good. It always scares me giving a kid a microphone. Like, we have good news, don't we? We have news about Jesus Christ. Right, Jesus came and he died for us, right? He loves us, and that's really good news, isn't it? But do we tell people about that? See, Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 14, it says this, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" So for you guys, like, it'd been really weird if you'd have brought tomatoes today, wouldn't it? Like, you didn't know anything about it, and you just, like, showed up to church with a tomato. It's kind of a weird thing to do, isn't it? A lot of people looked at me really weird when I came in with this tomato. But had I told everybody that if you bring a tomato, nobody would have thought it was weird. Well, the same thing is, how are we supposed to believe in something that we've never heard of? And so God calls us as believers to tell people about the good news, right? Even better news, my tomato is exploding. Even better news than about $20 for a tomato, right? He gives us eternal life, which is far better than $20. I don't know about if you all really understand, but $20 doesn't buy a lot these days. Yeah, you know. But eternal life is priceless, isn't it? Okay, well, let's pray, and we'll head on to children's church, okay? Dear God, we want to thank you so much for this day, God. We want to thank you for just the fact that you allow us to be a part of your missional journey in this world. God, that we get to play a part in telling of the good news. God, that you came, you loved us, you died for us, and we can find eternal life and salvation through you. God, thank you so much for that. Thank you for that sacrifice. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris. And I have some more good news. I want to encourage you to look at the front of your bulletin for our scripture passage today. And this is certainly good news out of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. As you know, we've been walking through the various attributes of God. And so today we'll be looking at the patience of God. And our passage of scripture is out of 2 Peter. And I do want to read verse 9. This is what it says. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's stand together, take time out, and greet your neighbor this morning.
Prayer. Our Father in heaven, dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be here to worship you and study your word this morning. We thank you so much for our missionaries with us here this morning, and thank you for the story that we had on the tomato. But I pray that each and every one of us would be with with the word, dear Lord, and take the word to heart as we go out in our own mission fields this week, dear Lord, to share your word with so many people that so desperately need to hear it, dear Lord. I certainly lift up to you people that in our church that are hurting with sickness and difficulty, and I just pray for your comfort for each and every one of those situations. Please be with our pastor this morning as he brings your word to us. Please be in our hearts, dear Lord, as we learn.
It's always a joy to have Savannah with us, and for some reason, she just makes John sound a little bit better, doesn't she? But anyway, thank you again, and we're blessed to have the Warners with us today. I know they're no stranger to the Meridian family, and Nathan and Mariah Warner has served in Japan for years, and they're now back in the States, and so I've just met them this morning. Actually, haven't even met Mariah in person yet, but anyway, I look forward to that, but I did chat with Nathan for just a bit. But we want them to come up and share what the Lord's doing in their ministry. Come on up, guys.
Hello, good morning, Meridian. It is so good to be home and see so many familiar faces. It's never long enough. This is a real quick trip. And we, just wish we could spend so much time with each and every one of you. So before you leave, please get a hug. We just wanted to come and briefly share. I know some of you have... We changed newsletter platforms when we transitioned to the U.S., so if you're not getting our newsletter, can you please let us know so we can make sure that you're back on that? Sorry. Thanks, Mom. Some things never change. If you're not getting our newsletters, please let us know so that we can make sure that you're up to date on what's going on and how very effective your prayers are, and how you can continue to be praying for us. So Nathan will share a little bit, but I needed to come and say hello and see all your faces.
so you might need to turn it down for me. Yes, we are, let me bring you back up to where we last met and kind of the recap of what's happened. We served in Japan for 4 years. We had two daughters while we were there, Naomi and Ada. Naomi is now 9, and Ada is 7. And those of you that met us when we came back to the States in 2019 and allowed us to stay in your missionary home for a little over a year, although we weren't supposed to, but you know, COVID and nobody could leave, so we stayed. We expected to return to Japan, and that was going to be our life. We were going to continue to do ministry in Japan. It was amazing what God did with us in Japan. For those that don't know, our daughter Ada, who is back in the back kicking her feet up, is blessed, challenged with a very unique genetic condition called Angelman syndrome. One in every 15 to 20,000 kids have this particular disorder. And when we returned to Japan, we immediately plugged in with the special needs families in Japan, doing daily life with them, sharing the gospel with them through how we lived our life, how we loved our kids, how we spoke to each other, and also in got opportunities to preach to them by practicing my sermon. And hey, could you help me understand, do you understand when I say this? So I was able to really have great impact in their life, wonderful ministry. And then about 2021, we realized that God was asking us to return to the States. And we were quite a bit like Jonah in one ticket to not Nineveh, please. I don't want to go to America. I want to stay in Japan. This is where you place me. Please let me stay here. And God made it clear that that was not his trajectory for us. So we said, okay, we'll go wherever you lead us. And Denver, which if you've never been there, is a high desert. So it's a dry and arid place. And it was hard to begin with. We thought we were going to do ministry with the Japanese people. What we learned was that God had a story for us that we never expected. And I don't know how many of you have ever come to that conclusion within yourselves that God has a story for you that is not what you expected. There is a scripture that I absolutely love, and it is kind of the anchor for all of our ministry. It's from 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction," which is an amazing place to start. God created comfort and is a God of mercies, but he didn't leave us there. Then he says, "So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Pain is a reality. Challenges are plenty in this world and in this life. But God's grace is sufficient for all of those needs. And he gives us the privilege of sharing the comfort that we received with others. So after a year and a half of working in Japan, in Denver, Colorado, trying to do ministry to Japanese and just striking out, we recognized that we were already doing ministry to this huge collection of people around us with special needs, the majority of who are unchurched. Most places would not welcome kids like ours into the church because they kick their feet up and they make loud noises and they aren't, it's embarrassing, so we didn't want to go. But I want to point, just a really quick observation. Jesus, we kind of follow him. We want to do what he did and live his life like he lived. He was here for 3 years, and 75% of the miracles that he did were for families like mine. He made people that were unable to walk My daughter is 7 and can't walk yet. He made people that were unable to speak. My daughter is 7 and she has about 30 words that she can say when it's the right day. He healed the lame. He healed the blind. He healed the sick. He healed, my favorite story is he healed somebody with epilepsy. And it's the one that says, I believe you, God, help me with my unbelief, which is the thing that I have walked daily. What we realize, what Mariah and I realize, is that the story that we expected to have, to go be fruitful missionaries in Japan, was not the story that God had for us. But the story that God had for us was instead to suffer, to be hurt, to fail at being missionaries in Japan. And I say that absolutely recognizing that it is not the truth, but it is the emotion that we felt, and it was the attack the enemy gave us. And it gave us the experience to take something that God comforted us to be able to give to somebody else. So our ministry now is no longer to the Japanese people, not exclusively. Our ministry now is to the global missions community, so that we can serve families like ours who are called, but also have that tension between the call to go and the care for our kids. So it's threefold. For preparation for those that I want to go, we had a conversation with a family recently that wanted to move to Japan from France as missionaries, but they've got a son with Down syndrome. And he called me up, a friend of mine connected us together and said, hey, can I do this? Can I do ministry in Japan with a son with Down syndrome? And I walked through what the services he would need, what the support he needed, and give him affirmation that the diagnosis of your kid does not disqualify you from ministry. In fact, it equips you to ministry. So the first part is the preparation. The second part is those who have that acute traumatic experience of a diagnosis while on the field. I have never in my life felt more alone and isolated than in that moment. And I like to say that as we look at the story of Job, he was going through great trials, and Job's friends did everything right until they opened their mouth. I want to be Job's friends for these families. Not the second half where we try to fix their problems, but the part where we hear that our brother is hurting, we come to him, we sit with him, and we weep with him. Job was not pretty at that moment. I was not pretty at the moment when I was going through that acute diagnosis thing. My family wasn't pretty. We smelled. Our house was not clean. We were not welcoming at that moment, but we needed people to sit with us and to process with us what was going on. So that's the acute middle stage. And then we actually had a wonderful opportunity 2 days ago to debrief with a family who were missionaries overseas, and their son got diagnosed with autism while he was overseas. And it's pretty high support needs with his son. And they came to the conclusion that they could no longer get the services or the support or the care that they needed for their kid in their country. So now they're come back to America and go, what do we do? And we didn't give them any answers, but we listened with familiar ears. We knew what was going on. We knew what they were feeling. We've walked that journey before. We're 3 years ahead of them. And we gave them some support and some encouragement. We really just drew out the story of God's faithfulness. And he hasn't left us yet, so he's not going to leave us alone. He hasn't changed his plan for our lives, just our vision of what that plan might be. And then so that's the receiving. They come back off the field. And then we actually just this morning got an email from their pastor to their missions team to say, how can we support this family well? So we were invited into that conversation of how do we support families coming off the field well. It is not a mission that looks like anything we have ever seen before or ever planned. It was certainly not on our 5, 10, 15-year plan of ministry. But you have watched us. We got married about here 19 years ago, and you've watched her since she was Naomi's age. Grow up, mature, follow God, and love God. We have been created and crafted in a really unique way to be, as far as we can tell, the only people in the world who are doing this ministry to the sent. We're the only people that are able to give them that wonderful, there's a Japanese phrase, hitori de wa nai, which means you are not alone. In the middle of this isolating period, in the middle of this challenge, we are called to prove God's faithfulness that they are not alone in this journey. So, that's where we are at right now. It is really remarkable. I love it. It is so life-giving to weep with those that are weeping. To apologize that we're crying that with those that are crying because they're apologizing too. The reality is this is a really wild story that you've got to watch us for years. You invested in us for a year and a half, welcoming us in a time where we were not feeling stable. And you gave us a place to stay. For that, we will be forever thankful. And as we go forward, the three asks. One, do not stop praying for us. Because this is not the pretty part of ministry. This is not the easy part of ministry. And the people that we serve and the people that we are that are serving us are serving from a vacuum that only God can fill. So pray that filling of us, that we have the energy and the health and the strength. Two, there is continued financial need to be able to do this ministry, to support and serve this group of people. And so as Meridian has continued to support us, we thank you. And as you individually have continued to support us, we thank you. And the third is, just like my friend who connected me with his family that was moving to Japan, but we're trying to process whether their kid was going to be able to get the services that they needed. If you, in your life, in your story, in your people you cross paths with, find somebody in this space, do not hesitate to connect us. We give you full permission. We cannot do this on our own. We aren't marketing a big deal. We're not doing email blasts and trying to drum up business. But what we are doing is trusting that God will bring to you somebody that needs to talk to me. God will bring to you somebody that needs to talk to Mariah. Or God brings to you somebody that needs to play with Naomi as a kid who got yanked out of the culture that they thought they were going to live for the rest of their life and planted back in the States because their younger sibling or older sibling made it challenging for them to live there anymore. So those are the people that we want to serve. And that's what we're doing now. So thank you.
Thank you, Nathan and Mariah. And I want to just begin, before I preach, just a word of prayer for the Warners and just what they mean to our church family. And I know that there's a rich history there and a deep relationship. And one thing I've learned about mission work is anytime you've got a mission family that a church family is supporting and part of, it's always an extension of that family. So they are Meridian family, and we're thankful for that. So let's pray together and just ask a blessing upon their ministry. Father, I'm so thankful just to hear the testimony from Mariah and Nathan today. And Lord, we ask that you would just surround them with your presence and just encourage them. Father, we pray that as a church family that we can be a support system for them and an encouragement. Lord, as they further the gospel through their ministry, and Lord, as they are missionaries to missionaries, Lord, just help them as they serve. Lord, that you would just guide them each step of the way. Lord, that you would give them just gospel opportunities and gospel conversations that truly come from you, Father. That you would just put together those divine appointments where people hear the good news of the gospel. And Father, that you would just further the truth of your word around the world. Father, we're so thankful for Meridian Baptist Church and just the deep, rich history that this church has had in missions and all the families that we have been able to encourage through prayer, through financial support, or whether it be by way of mission trips and mission opportunities. Lord, we're so thankful as we walk down the hallway and see our mission board and all the families that are part of our mission connections. Lord, we know that it's not just the Warners that are on the board there, but other families, Lord, you've blessed us with through the years. And so, Father, we want to be a great commission-minded church. And, Lord, we're so thankful for the good news of the gospel. Just as Brother Chris's children's moment mentioned the good news, Lord, we're so thankful of the good news that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross and to pay the price for our sins. And, Lord, we're so thankful for the good news that you are patient. And so, Lord, we ask that, Lord, as we pray for the Warners, Lord, that we also lift up our church family, that we would be just mission-minded in all that we do. Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Nathan and Mariah, and I want to encourage you all to take your Bibles and find, if you will, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, we do continue our various studies on the attributes of God. It's been an encouraging study. It's been a pretty awesome experience, at least for me and my personal studies as I've been preparing for these messages. And we've covered a lot of ground in the last few months as we began this right after Easter. So far, we've considered the love of God and the wisdom of God, the wrath of God, the grace of God, the holiness of God, the jealousy of God, the fatherhood of God, the mercy of God, the aseity of God, the righteousness of God, and the goodness of God. Today, as I've already mentioned, we're going to consider the patience of God. And then in the coming weeks, I've got a list that I've been whittling away at. I know you've heard me read this every week, but I do that intentionally because I want us to see the full scope of the vastness of God's attributes. We're going to be considering in the coming weeks the joy of God, the justice of God, the severity of God, the anger of God, the sovereignty of God, the truthfulness of God, the omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence of God, the faithfulness of God, and the glory of God. So we've got a lot of ground to cover, but we do have a rich topic today as we consider the patience of God. Now, if you look into this particular attribute and look at various commentaries, this is actually probably one of the attributes, one of the character traits of God we find little information about compared to maybe the love of God or the wrath of God or the mercy of God. That's not to say that we don't have a lot of information from God's word about the patience of God. We do. But it just seems like a lot of commentators seem to pass over this particular attribute. But I really believe with all of my heart, when we look at the glory of God, this attribute of the patience of God truly shines forth. One of the authors that I've been gleaning from in this particular study is Arthur Pink, and this is what he says about the patience of God. He says the patience of God, this is the way he describes it, that power of control which God exercises over himself, causing him to bear with the wicked and to forbear so long in punishing them. The patience of God is the divine attribute which causes him to sustain great injuries without immediately avenging himself. And so I think that's a great summation of the patience of God. And so when we look in the Old Testament and we look at the Hebrew word for the patience of God, it's the word arek, and it means to be slow in anger. We find this in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, Psalm 103:8. And you don't have to turn to those. We'll be looking at various passages today. Our primary text today is 2 Peter chapter 3. But God is patient, and God does not have to learn to be patient. I mean, let's be honest for just a moment. We are not patient people, are we? I mean, when we think about who we are as fallen people, as broken individuals, and we think about the things that we wrestle with on this side of eternity, one of the things that we all can relate to is, quite frankly, we're fairly impatient, are we not? Think about being patient in traffic. Just this weekend, Sarah and I were at a traffic light, and while we were at this traffic light, the car next to us, a gentleman hopped out. I don't know exactly what had transpired, but he was angry with the driver that was behind me. Praise be to God, we were not involved, but nevertheless, this guy hops out of his car. He stands in the middle of the street, turns to the driver behind me, and uses some very salty language. And as I move forward and try to get away from the situation, the light turns green. I look through the rearview mirror, and the car behind me tried to actually hit him. It's crazy when we see things unfold like that. But impatient, angry, however you want to describe it, but we think about being patient in traffic. Or we think about waiting in line. Do we really like to wait in line? It's not in our nature that we want to wait for anything. Or how about waiting at the doctor's office? That's always fun. They tell you to arrive at the hospital at a certain time, and they suggest that that's the time that everything will begin, and we all know that 90% of the time, that's not how it's going to be. I mean, we really don't like waiting. It is not in our nature to be patient people. But I just want you to know that none of those illustrations are true of God. God is never said to be patient necessarily about things or circumstances. Why? Because he knows all things. Such circumstances do not apply to him. So when we do speak of the patience of God, we are not talking about enduring hard times like we might face, but rather we're talking about being long-suffering towards sinners. And I am forever grateful that God is patient with sinners. We see this throughout the Word of God. I think about when Adam and Eve were created in the fall of man there in Genesis chapter 3, and he grants them grace and forgiveness. I am so thankful for the grace that God provides and how he demonstrates patience. And then, of course, in Genesis chapter 6 and 7, we read about the flood. And, of course, that's a great example of the patience of God. I also see the patience of God with the patriarchs of Genesis, such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. I see the patience of God with the children of Israel, even as they were grumbling in the wilderness. And we know the story of God's people. This cyclical pattern of how they constantly fell into sin and God would have to get their attention and then they would eventually repent of that sin, get right with God, and then eventually fall back into sin. It was a constant cycle. And yet God demonstrates patience all throughout the Word of God. And then I see his patience in the establishment of the early church in the New Testament. I see his patience in the ebb and flow of church history. And I even see his patience toward people. I see his patience with me as I constantly do things that I ought not to do. But there's 1,000 examples within God's Word of the patience of God. And I want to read just a few verses. These are not necessarily verses that the guys have on the screen today, but I think they would be some good verses to hear before we dive into our primary passage. But Psalm 145:8 says this: "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." What a description of who God is. God is slow to anger, and he's rich in love. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says this: "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." And then who could forget Matthew chapter 18, verses 26 and 27? It says this: "At this, the slave fell down on his face before him and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything.' Then the master of that slave had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan." God is patient with sinners. And so we find ourselves in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to begin in verse 1. And to give you some background information, here in our passage, Peter highlights the patience of God. And he demonstrates this immense patience that God has for his people and ties it in with the patience that God had during Noah's day with the evil that was demonstrated at that time. But let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 3. This is what it says: "This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and the Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And let me just pause right there for a moment. May I say this to you? This verse, verse 3, sums up our society today as the world laughs and scoffs at the things of God. I mean, all we have to do is look at this sinful world, and the world is laughing at anything that pertains to the matter of God. The Bible is not politically correct. It's just correct. Let me say that again. The Bible is not politically correct. It's just correct. God's word is right. And so we see this description as Peter describes and points to the patience of God. Verse 4, notice what it says. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God." Verse 6, "And that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." Again, I just mentioned to you the Bible is not politically correct. This is a harsh message, but it's a true message. Verse 8, it says this, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." And then we have our key verse for today that we had our scripture reading. It says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Thanks be to God for his word. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, again, we're so thankful for the scriptures. We ask that you would just open up our heart to this message today. Lord, that you would speak to us clearly. And as we unpack this message of patience, that we would glean so much. Lord, we are forever grateful that you are patient with us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our brokenness. We are so grateful that you are patient with us. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. I want to encourage you to notice on your outline this morning, on the back of the bulletin, there's a few things that I want to point out pertaining to the patience of God. And I know there's 1,000 ways that we could probably unpack this particular topic because it's such a rich topic. But I think the first thing I would point out on your outline today, number one, the patience of God can be puzzling. Let me say that again. The patience of God can be puzzling. There's times in life when we ask the question, how could a just God allow, you fill in the blank, allow whatever to occur? How can God allow this particular sickness? How can God allow this particular disease? How did God allow that storm to hit our city? Why is there a delay for a cure for cancer? Why does a particular thing continue to go on and on? Again, you fill in the blank. We all have questions. There are times in life when the patience of God can be puzzling. And you'll notice under point number one, there's four things I want to mention. The patience of God should not be confused with a few things. The first one I would say is this, is ignorance. The patience of God should not be confused with ignorance. God is fully aware of every injustice and difficulty suffered in your life. Let me say that again. God is fully aware of every injustice and difficulty suffered in your life. God has written out your story. I mean, that's all throughout the Word of God. David wrote about that in Psalm 139. God has written out our story. God has a plan for your life. And it may be hard for us to fathom. It may be hard for us to comprehend and understand. But know this, God will permit difficulty. God will permit difficult times and difficult seasons in your life. And he does so with a purpose. But oftentimes we wonder why God allows certain things to happen. And so the patience of God should not be confused with ignorance. Nor should it be confused with bullet point number two, what we might call a weakness. In reality, God's power is reflected in the restraint he shows toward mankind. I mean, have you ever thought about that? The mercy of God, we talk about the grace of God and the mercy of God. Grace are the things God gives us that truly we don't deserve, but mercy is holding back what we do deserve. And so we think about that mercy, God holding back what we truly deserve. And we think about how that's demonstrated in his restraint towards mankind. And when we think about the restraint that's demonstrated, we think about how patient God really is with sinners. I am so thankful that God is patient with me. Nahum captures this best when he writes this: "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished." Here's a third bullet point that we'll cover. Notice on your outline, we'll just simply call it apathy. Apathy. It would be easy to conclude that God simply does not care about evil. In fact, God's justice and wrath is being delayed and stored up until the final judgment. But know this, God does care. He cares about you and me. And then I would say another bullet point that we can add to our list there under number one is simply the word absence. Maybe it appears to us at times that God is absent, but in reality, he's being patient with us. God isn't just an observer as believers are somehow mistreated on this side of eternity. Know this. Hear me today. God is present in your life. He knows every detail of what you're dealing with as a child of God. And so the patience of God should not be confused with these things. I think a second takeaway that would be good for us to consider, number two on your outline, I'd simply say this: God patiently pursues his people. Again, I made reference earlier to the Hebrew word for patient. It's the word arek, and it means to be long-suffering or slow to anger. It appears 15 different times in the Old Testament. And it's a beautiful, passionate word. It is overwhelming to think that God patiently pursues his people. Just think about all the different moments in your Christian pilgrimage. Think about all the moments in that walk with the Lord that you have gone astray, that you have got off the path, so to speak. And hasn't God been gracious? And hasn't God been patient with you and brought you back on track? I pray that we all can testify to various seasons in our walk that are fitted with that description. But God is so patient with his people, and we're forever grateful for that. God patiently pursues his people. Oftentimes, we don't think about it from that vantage point, that God is actively pursuing us. But it's a beautiful thought to know that the creator of the universe is passionately and patiently pursuing us in all that we do. But that's what the scripture teaches. Number three, I would say this on your outline: we do not deserve God's patience. We don't deserve it. I mean, we need to think about what we really deserve. We really deserve the wrath of God. We really deserve punishment and torment because we are fallen people in need of salvation. We have broken the very heart of God. Our allegiance is naturally in the heart or to the things of this world. And we've broken the very heart of God. We do not deserve the patience of God. Parents, we all can relate to those instances where we lose patience with our children. And we all can relate to that. And quite frankly, I'm sure all the parents in this room can testify of times where maybe we were not patient enough and we've dropped the ball. We're not perfect parents, but we truly do not deserve the patience that God demonstrates for his people. I mean, think about it in our own lives. We are so prone to take the path of evil, and oftentimes we demonstrate no concern for the glory of God. It seems as if we only live to gratify self, and how shallow our gratitude is oftentimes to God, and how tardy our obedience is to the things of God, and how frequent our backslidings are, and yet he patiently puts up with our vile conduct. What a loving father. We do not deserve the patience of God. Number four, I would say this: many people provoke the patience of God. There was a famous Victorian atheist named Charles Bradlaugh. He would give lectures on atheism all over the country. The final stunt in his talk would be his taking a stopwatch out of his pocket and challenge the God whom he rejected. And this is what he would say: "If you exist, then smite me dead in the next minute." So he would stand with his stopwatch and wait in silence until 60 seconds had passed. He would then say to his audience, "What sort of God is this that can't smite me down for my anti-God beliefs?" Well, I think my answer to Charles would simply be this: that we serve a patient God. It's wonderful to know that our God truly is patient, and he wants all to come to know him. And we find comfort in that. But many people provoke the patience of God. Number five, I would say this: God will not be patient forever. God's patience is long, but it's not infinite. As Peter was writing to his audience here in our text, it was important from his vantage point that his audience understood that though they were being mocked, waiting for the second coming of the Lord, that truly God's patience would not last forever. Indeed, he had appointed a day and has appointed a day in which he will judge the world, and that day will mark the end point of God's striving with man. It will also mark the day of vindication for his patient children. And so God will not be patient forever. I mean, all we have to do is open up the newspaper or turn on the TV or get on the internet and read that the world that we live in today is so marred and marked by sin, and we continuously see the patience of God. Haven't you ever asked yourself that? Lord, the world continues to get more vile and filthy. Why have you yet to return? I'm sure as a believer we all have asked something similar to that. But yet, we need to understand that our God is a patient God, the one true God. He is patience in and of itself. But yet, he will not be patient forever. Now, I want us to turn to James chapter 5 as we kind of put a neat little bow on all of this. How does this really apply to our daily walk? As Peter was writing to the church and had acknowledged the fact that the world would mock them for looking for the second coming, and he was telling them that they can't necessarily just stop their life, that they have to keep going and serve the Lord with gladness. We can tie this in beautifully with some words that we find in the book of James. James chapter 5, verse 7 and following. This is what it says in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains." Then it says this in verse 8: "You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Let me just pause right there. In these verses, James was addressing Christians. They were growing tired of waiting on the Lord to return. And they had grown weary, so to speak. They started working and serving, which was great, but yet they had really lost sight of what really needed to be done, and they slowed down and stopped serving because the buzz had kind of worn off. Look at verse 9. "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Verse 10. "As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." These are words that we can take today and apply to our lives as a church family. Meridian family, hear me today. I know we live in a sin-sick world, and we yearn for the return of our Lord. As a child of God, we yearn for that day when the Lord will return. But one of the things that we ought to do when we think about the topic of the patience of God and see the beauty of the patience of God, we see how long-suffering he truly is. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so the gospel message is simply this. The good news is this, that God sent his Son to do what? Die on the cross and pay the price for our sins. That's the good news. That's the news that we cherish. That's the news we celebrate. That's the news that we embrace. And as James wrote to his audience, he said to be patient. And we eagerly wait for the return of our Lord. And yet as we do so, we serve the Lord. We continue in our service to Him for His glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Such a rich topic. So much that can be said about the patience of God. And I am forever grateful for His patience. Something that I truly do not deserve.
And the truth of the matter is simply this. None of us deserve
the patience that God has. In the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our sinful condition, we do not deserve the patience that He bestows upon us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means in the midst of our broken spiritual condition, in a condition that we could do nothing to help our situation, to help our circumstance, God provided the one and only way through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I pray that's part of your testimony, that's part of your story, that you've called out to Him for salvation. See, salvation is not based upon church membership. It's not based upon good deeds. It's not based upon your own merit or your own qualifications that you've set up. Rather, it's based upon the message of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And so salvation is not about dotting the I and crossing the T. It's entrusting Jesus and letting Jesus dot the I's and cross the T's. Only He could live the perfect life. And He's the one who provides the way of salvation. And so maybe you're here today and there's never been that moment of conversion. There's never been that moment in your life when you realize that you're broken and you're in need of salvation. And if that's the case, I want to invite you in just a moment as we have a gospel invitation. I want to invite you. I'd love to sit down with you and show you within God's Word what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I promise you this, based upon the authority of the Word of God, you call out to Him, He will save you. And maybe you're here today and you are a child of God. You've given your heart to Christ, but maybe you're just going through a difficult time. I think I say this every week, but I want to just reiterate this. Every time we have this invitation, as we're about to have in just a moment, it's open and available to everyone here today. And so maybe you just need prayer. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. I would love to encourage you through prayer. And then finally, maybe there's another decision you need to make. Maybe it's for believers' baptism or church membership. If that's the case, we encourage you in just a moment as we have this gospel invitation for you to step out and make that public so we can celebrate with you today in your decision. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the patience of God. Lord, as we have looked at these various attributes, what a special topic for today. Lord, we do not deserve your patience. But Lord, we ask as we have this gospel invitation that you would just speak to our hearts and we would realize that your patience would not last forever and that we would respond accordingly. Father, we love you and we praise you and we ask this in the beautiful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. Brother Dennis.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
Certainly a joy to be in God's house today. We've had a beautiful service. Great to have the Warners with us today. And thank you so much for that mission report, Nathan and Mariah. And just to continue to pray for them as we partner with them through prayer and giving and support. What a great extension of ministry just through their mission endeavors. Brother D-Mac, Brother Dave McLemore, come on up. You're going to lead our closing word of prayer. Let me just say a quick word. We have a visitation today for Lou Jones. And that's from 3 to 5, is that correct? 1 to 3. I'm glad I asked or mentioned. Okay, there you go. That wouldn't have worked well, would it? So 1 to 3 today, and then funeral tomorrow at 11. So continue to pray for the family of Lou Jones. Brother Dave.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, dear God, we're so thankful to be in your house today. We're thankful for the message that we've just heard, Heavenly Father. We ask that you do be with Nathan and Mariah, Heavenly Father. We pray for their ministry. We pray, dear God, that you would bless them. Be with their daughters. Bless them as well. We're, Heavenly Father, just ask that you be with the Lou Jones family today. We pray, dear God, you'd comfort them. Also, the Mary June Folk family. We ask that you would look upon a revival coming up, Heavenly Father. We pray we could get many souls here that would be one for you. We pray, dear God, that you would see us home safely, for it's in your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen.